Guys, he looks to us. He'll take you out and basically say in a very nice, redemptive way, what's going on? What's going on? And so think about that sentence for a while. Let it sink in. To be a true man means that I'm going to be like Jesus. Now, all of us, I could stop now and have an altar call, and if you're really a true man, you get on down here and we pray for one another, all right? I know there's always room for growth in that area. But over the years, as we've married our wives and as we have children, there should be some areas that we become proficient at. And loving our wives like Christ loved the church, giving our lives, laying it down for those that we love and be called to serve. There's so many principles in this subject matter. You know, I'll be revisiting this from time to time as the Lord tarries on this subject matter. And I feel like today I'm only really touching the surface. But you guys, I want to give you some thoughts on this today, and I want to allow time for processing in all of this. Here's some examples of Scripture about true manhood. The life of Christ. I mean, we could just park there for months, and we look at what he did, how he lived his life, how he was loving but strong, how he was forgiving but full of conviction, how he was merciful and not judgmental, except to the religious people. I mean, we could go on. What about Paul's life? And how he gave all for God's kingdom. He wasn't married. As far as we know, he wasn't married. But he gave it all. There's something there about authentic manhood, being Christ-like. I mean, I give it my all. You know, show up! Too many, even today, I think, was it Target this week that got in trouble having some kind of birth card about my baby's daddy, happy baby's daddy day or something of that nature, and, they had to pull the cards because so many people, got offended. I was kind of blessed that they got offended by it, It's kind of like what they're doing is celebrating sexual lust that happens to produce a kid. Kind of gave me a little hope for our society today. Am I the only one that heard that on the news? Did anybody else hear that on the news?
Yep, heard it.
But at any rate, and then of course there's the prophets. I just gave you an example about Elijah and Elisha. Man, they were a man's man.
Yeah.
They followed God wholeheartedly. All of these are symptomatic of a real man, or indicative of a real man. Our wives are crying out for authentic manhood and for authentic husbands. Our kids are crying out for authentic dads. It's plagued our society. Teachers, when I taught at Christian, where did I teach at? New Generation School, excuse me. When I taught at New Generation School, and I wasn't there very long, about a week, and I realized they want, I can't tell you how many kids wanted me to be their dad. It broke my heart. Because their home life was just terrible. The dads were nowhere to be found. Some of them were single parents. And if they do happen to have a father that sleeps in the house, he's just nowhere around. My dad worked hard, and he installed a huge work ethic in me. And that's why I have to work at being compassionate with someone that doesn't work, particularly if they are physically able to work. And if you're not physically able to work today, you can sit at a computer. My son makes really good money. Really. And you know what it does all day? Stops. Gets up, walks 3 feet into the kitchen, gets him a glass of tea, come back down. So I have very little patience with people who keep making excuses about why they're wrong.
Yeah.
had a guy that was a pastor friend, hadn't seen him in years, and he hadn't gotten to church yet, and he decided to quit his job. His name was Ray. I said, Ray, don't do it. He said, well, the Lord told him. And I kind of thought to myself, no, he didn't. Quit his job, wouldn't get a job. Would not get a job. He's waiting on God to move. And it went on for about 18 months. Guess what happened? His wife got fed up and left him. But he wouldn't work. Work's a good thing.
Paul worked while he ministered.
Yeah, he did. He can't do it. You know, an issue in our culture today is what I call cultural tolerance. It underscores the popular mindset. And that this paradigm becomes commonplace, and the more one's conscious becomes dull to that. In other words, if you are a person that has any ounce of conviction, you're going to be called intolerant. Do you remember the quote that I gave you from G.K. Chesterton? He's a Catholic theologian that I read. I really enjoy it. And he said this, that tolerance is a virtue for those who believe nothing. Just let that sink in. If you don't believe anything, you're gonna be tolerant. You just walk around in the wind and you're going to go with the flow. But if you have a conviction, I have a conviction, right? You come into my house uninvited. My conviction is named Synesis. And she will meet you at that door if you're fool enough to come in. And while she's doing her thing on certain parts of your body, I'm reaching into my closet, grabbing my Glock.
Come on.
And I'm saying, call the sheriff, but give Synesis at least 5 more minutes on him.
Make a believer
out of me. I have a conviction. You come in my house trying to hurt me in my back, I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. Yeah. Yeah. And while you're dying, I'll lead you to the Lord. Or try to. And if you're a real man, you're going to do that. A woman, if you're there by yourself, those mamas, when they get riled up, you best get out of the way. Because they're going to protect those babies. At any cost. It's the God thing. You know, this type of tolerance dulls your consciousness to the point where you develop weak convictions or no convictions at all. And men particularly have been bombarded with all this stuff, and it's even been disguised as in the context of Christian love and mercy. But there's a place in Scripture that draws the line between light and darkness, sin and righteousness, wickedness and the love of God. The world is waiting, the Scripture says, for the revealing of the sons and daughters. So it is with us. Your godly conviction, which are in you, in your heart, your mind, and your will shape the atmosphere around you. Your world, your outlook on life. Tolerance is the opposite of what it means to be a man of conviction. If not, then your relation, then your atmosphere is going to shape you instead of you shaping your atmosphere. It is okay to disagree with somebody. It's okay if you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. I've had great conversations with people that are homosexuals. Most of them holler and scream and spit on me. But there are some that engage you. And I remember one time when we were talking about Lord, and he finally looked at me and he said, well, why? I said, my covenant is different. And he'd never heard that before. And he looked at me and said, can't wait about that covenant. It's kind of like, wait, when you say that. Let me tell you about the covenant. Let me give you some scriptures. One of the things that happens in this whole atmosphere of tolerance is that as men, we lose our confidence. We lose our confidence. Now, go with me to Psalms. I'm sorry, Mike, I'm skipping around.
That's okay.
Go with me to Psalms 118. In verses 8 and 9. I didn't say that anyway. I'm looking at the wrong song. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princesses. Our key and fundamental confidence comes from our relationship with God. Whether you're a man or a woman, your confidence about your life, about what you're doing with your life, about your occupation, your calling, whatever it may be, comes from that trust that you have in the Lord. Yeah. And what I was trying to share earlier this morning, it's not a one-way street. It's not one of those things of, I'm just going to give it all and not do anything. We're in good trouble here. But there's a work of faith that goes on after you trust Him without working for your salvation. But there's a work of faith. You're created as His workmanship. And that confidence begins to develop in you as you discern with greater clarity, as you grow in the grace of God, you begin to discern with greater clarity what He's called you to do and what He's empowered you to do. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 14, quickly. Or maybe not so quickly. Proverbs chapter 14 and verses 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and it turns one away from the snares of death. Listen, there's a strong confidence when we put our trust and faith in the goodness and mercy of God. And it becomes a fountain of life. Why is it a fountain of life? Because life is happening.
Amen.
In your life and in my life. Are your prayers being answered? Mm-hmm. Are you even praying? I've met so many brothers and sisters, that prayer life, when I kind of begin the quiz, normally I just listen for about 2 or 3 months. But then when I finally begin the quiz, their prayer life is more like que sera, sera. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Well, if you're prophetic, you see the future.
Yeah.
If you have a relationship with God, He has given you a future and a hope. Come on. This is not rocket science, guys. This is kind of simple stuff here. But I want you to see it. Do you have strong confidence? Boy, it's easy to have strong confidence when, you get a $5,000 check in the mail. But my confidence before the check got there was way back to when God said, hey, I'm going to drop this in your heart and see what He does with it. I moved on. See, I've learned that those little things floating around in my brain is the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I've repented for not moving on something new. I move pretty much on anything now. I don't care how crazy it sounds. I don't tell my wife sometimes. But when it works out really good, then I'm like, oh, by the way, what happened? This is what happened. Sweetie, you still love me, right? Listen, go to Isaiah chapter 30. Is this okay? Are y'all doing good with this? Nobody's doing good? Will you shut up? Close?
No, sir.
Okay, good. I got one person. Let me go over here. I just reached you. Isaiah chapter 30. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in return and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You see, trust is that quiet strength that come what may.
Yes.
I've got instructions from my Heavenly Father who's told me what to do, and I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. When is the last time that with certainty you can look back on your life and said, God said something to me, I did it, and here's the results? We all okay? I mean, I'm preaching good, but it's kind of hard, I guess. I'm trying to be sweet and nice here. I really am. All right? Look at this, guys. Go to Ephesians. Just give you a bunch of scripture. Mike, you hanging with
me? Doing my best.
All right, man. Ephesians 3. Go to verse 12. I know the Ephesians in here somewhere, right? It's in the New Testament.
Power company.
All right, Ephesians chapter 3. You know, I'll just back up a little bit. It goes on, it says, to me, verse 8, Mark, I'll read from there. I am less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable fountains of Christ. Now what he just said, he just told you his statement, his purpose, his mission. That was his mission in life, all right? Thank God he wasn't, he was good at it. And to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church, say that's me, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, this is what I wanted you to see. In whom we have what? Boldness and access with what? Confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. I want you to notice that in the midst of all this tribulation, a couple of things that he talks about. He's talking about this confidence that the faith that God is faith in God has God has given to him, and the boldness that comes because of the confidence. So I want you to see something. If you're not bold, you're probably not confident.
Yep.
Seems
reasonable.
Huh?
Yep. It seems reasonable.
Okay. If you're not bold, you're not confident. If you're not confident, you're not gonna, be bold. So I'm trying to get you to see that these are characteristics of a group, of a man and woman of God that's on mission with God. And that mission for us today has to do with what it means to be a man. An authentic man is to be Christ-like, that I will represent him or represent him to a lost and dying world. And the first place it's represented is in the home. It's in the home.
Yep.
When my kids were growing up, I can't tell you how many times I got down on my knees right in front of them and said, Daddy, sorry. I was a place for you. I was angry. Place for you. Of course, you would think that, oh my God, they're going to hate me for the rest of my life. You know what I found out about my kids? And I just think that they're pretty indicative of your kids as well. You know, the first thing they just did, grabbed me and hugged me and said, it's okay, Daddy. Let's go play ball. That was simple. Okay, let's go. Let's go play catch, But you know what they learned about that? They learned that I love them enough to admit when I'm wrong. And they carried that, all five of them, into their adult life. Now, Hebrews chapter 3. Hang with me, Mike.
I'm there.
All right, Hebrews chapter 3. Let's do verse 6 and verse 14. Let's shorten it. Talking about Moses being faithful in the house, but Jesus is verse 6. But Christ as the Son over his house, whose house we are, if what? We hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Gives me my second point on confidence. Number one, you're confident, you're bold. Number two, you're confident, you're rejoicing. We're rejoicing because of your past responses to God and what they yield in not only your life and your family's life, but for everyone that was involved in that situation. Mm-hmm. Now, drop down. Then he says this. Here's a word of admonishment in verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. And so that's the issue for true women, men and women of God. And we're talking about authentic manhood, that we remain faithful to the end. Jesus put it this way, talking about his return. He said, when I come, will I find faith in you? I want to talk about some hindrances and then we'll close out. Believe it or not, I'm getting to 1 Corinthians 10. Proverbs 16:32, Mike, you can put that up there if you want.
Okay, working that. Got to counsel what I'm doing here.
Is this okay? I want me to just pray a prayer and go on and check in the water.
We go to Zach's
meeting. By the way, what is it about Mother's Day? We take them out and buy all these gifts and kick them out of these fancy restaurants, and then on Father's Day, we get to go cook out. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure about all that, but anyhow.
Wait a minute, they're going
to
cook for you.
I know, that's because I paid them $100.
And bought their food, right?
16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes or captures a city. Is it up there?
Yeah, I messed up. I'm sorry.
That's not in verse 632, that first time. Let me read it again to you guys. Let this sink in, all right? We're talking about authentic manhood. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes or captures a city. Now guys, listen to me. Ladies too. As a man and a woman of God, you're going to rule your heart. You're going to rule your spirit. We have been called. Remember the scriptures. We are co-heirs with Christ. Right? We've been called to rule and to reign. He even calls us a kingdom of what? Priests and kings with him. But there's so many that I have run into that see themselves as less than what God has accomplished for them through the cross and carried through the resurrection and the giving of the power of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, there's so many men that are not ruling their spirits.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a sermon, three or four sermons. The idea is a man who rules and who reigns has dominion. First and foremost, over his own heart and his thought processes. And that feeds into his responses. It's over himself. And I have met so many in the churches who are not ruling over them. They're tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine, by the latest ideas. They're not men of conviction, deep conviction. You know, convictions are foundations that you build your life on. Mm-hmm. Listen to Romans chapter 6. Sorry, Mike.
Back, I'm there.
Romans chapter 6, and let's go to verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, listen, these are imperatives. Right? This is a command from Paul, through God, through Paul via the Spirit. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members, that's your mind, will, and emotions, all right, your body, all that, who you are. Do not present your members of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Now get this. You will not habitually be in the throes of some sinful vice. What is indicative of your life and my life as men is that we're quick to repent when we need to repent. And we are even quicker to walk in God's grace to get out of that circumstance, regardless of what they may be. Real men and real ladies do not make excuses for sinful behavior. I feel like Southern Baptist up here today. I'm pretty crazy. We just don't. We present our lives. Do you do this regularly? I do it all the time. Part of my prayer line. I get up in the morning. Most of the time after coffee. Sometimes with coffee. But I get up in the morning, Father, I just thank you for another day. Your mercies are new every morning. I just go through each one of my wife, myself, my children, my grandkids, my grandson that's still baking in the womb. I want to have another one here in a little bit. You know, I plead the precious blood over them. I plead the blood over our cars, our vehicles. I ask God to deliver us from evil and to deliver us from people who are wicked and drive like it. You know, I just... And then you know what I do? I said, today, Lord, I give you my life. I present my life to you. Body, soul, mind, spirit, reasoning, consciousness, my thought patterns, my emotions, everything I have. God, I just yield to you. Because today, they're going to be members of righteousness. I do it every day. Very few days that I don't do it. Very few. Why? Well, because it's right here as a shred. That's how I begin my day, by taking communion. You know what I'm taking communion over? Mm-hmm. If God has a God, then I go on. God, you better follow my life. You call me disciple. Yes. You call me preacher. Jesus, I'm going into the nation. I've already started it. It's going to get even better. Present yourself to God as instruments of righteousness. Listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That is a fundamental question that each of us need to ask ourselves. Am I setting my mind on the things of the Spirit? Eric and I were talking about t-shirt ideas. I probably just need to start a t-shirt company. But one of them was taking root and bearing fruit.
Come on.
Because that's a good context, but the bad talk context is you will take root and you'll bear fruit still. It'll just be bad fruit.
Yeah.
Jesus put it this way, you will know them by their fruit, you know. He didn't say you'll know them by their excuses.
Amen.
You'll know them by their fruit. Now, I'm doing good. So you're doing good, Master.
You're doing good.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Keep on reaching for another hour.
Two.
Oh. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Don't I get it, Mike?
Yeah, I already threw it out. 1
Corinthians chapter 10. Making Mike earn his money. Moreover, brethren, verse 1. I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from that spiritual walk that followed them, and that walk was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immoralities as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as an example, that were written for our admonishment, unto whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall. And then that wonderful verse 13 that we all know by heart, that somehow we forgot everything to get for. No temptation has taken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make a way to of escape that you may bear it. And underneath that verse, if you're writing in your Bible, or if you can do it on your phone, just type the words, no excuses. Now, I believe, and this is where I guess I'm being a Baptist this morning. I believe that this passage of Scripture gives us five things, five areas of hindrances, temptations, or even sins that are keeping godly men chained to their flesh, unproductive, and become sorry men. And I'm going to list them here. You just saw it. Number one, lust. Now, guys, I understand that men are not the only ones that lust. Women lust. I understand that. But it's lust. Now it's not necessarily sexual or human. But what he's talking about is satisfying oneself at the expense of the Lordship of Jesus. Let me say it again. It is satisfying oneself at the expense of the Lordship of Jesus. It is extreme selfishness. It's wanting what they had back in the land of Egypt more than the promised land of God.
Yep.
It's desiring more of the past comforts than your future deliverance. Or future breakthrough to your friends. If you can write this down, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You know what? I'm going to read it. Y'all don't have to turn it there, but I'll read it. But know this, that in the last day perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Now all of these are indicative of what it means to lust. Boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong. Come on, somebody. Hook your neighbor and say, well, haughty, lover of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Turn away from such people. I would suggest to you that this is the heart of lust. It robs you of the power of the ghost, so that the only thing you can do is pretend to be God. It's time to check our hearts, guys. What motivates me? Is it the kingdom? Or is it these other things? Selfish ambitions. Money. So forth and so on. You know, the crazy thing about the worship of Jesus is he can supply whatever you need.
Yep.
That's the crazy thing. There are so many in the church that needs to have godly fathers. You know, when I was at Christian here, what was the name of that school?
New Generation.
New Generation. When I was at New Generation, you know, I did my best, and I knew I had to be careful. Because I can't be their daddy. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, my house is not big enough. You know, I can't take all these kids home with me. But I did my best to deposit the truth of God's word, because I knew that that would be. Mm-hmm. And I loved all the time that I was there. Some it took, others I did, and it didn't. The second thing is that in 1 Corinthians 10, lust was one of them. These are hindrances. Number two is idolatry. Now, I'm not talking about this picture of Buddha in your living room that you go and bow down to and say, you know, all hail Buddha, or whatever it is, you know. Or, you know, that you get into Eastern Zen religion and you meditate on one hand clapping or something. You know, that's not, to me, is idolatry. Idolatry is, don't worry, give me this. Idolatry is a value system that we create when we esteem something else more worthy of our devotion than God. Mm-hmm. You want me to say it again? I can tell you what I'm going to say. Idolatry is the value system we create where we esteem something else more worthy of our devotion than God. Mm-hmm. Power. Prestige, education, money, business, drugs. I mean, on and on and on it goes. Now, in and of themselves, none of this is wrong. But where's your value system?
Mm-hmm.
Is it connected to your devotion toward God? Or is it something that you worship? It robs men of true, authentic manhood. Pornography creates in your mindset an image to which you dedicate yourself. The reason why pornography is so bad for both men and women is it creates a false humility. And then you take that mindset and you apply it to your relationship with God. And then you wonder,
why your relationship with God is not real good. It is a false intimacy. And Jesus is all about having a real intimacy.
Yeah.
That's why it's so bad. Several months ago, I almost fell out. I was in a group of supposedly mature Christian brothers. And we got talking around. And you got to understand, I'm sweet and nice. All right, I just remember he sit there and smile. Hey, can I get some water? And one of the guys there, this is several months ago, made the statement that pornography was just rampant and it's just something we have to accept in the church. That's what I did.
You didn't say it right now.
Because they're shacked up together. I said, if you can separate for 3 months, I'll marry you. I dare you. 3 months? Show me some self-control. Show me you value God's word. Or jumping in the sack with somebody. Show me that you know what true love is instead of lust. I've had more families leave the church over that than I can tell you. In the 30 years I've done this. The good news is eventually they quit asking me to marry their people. Because I knew I'd say no. If God will help me, I will never compromise.
Yeah.
Never. And that doesn't mean I don't love these folks. I love them. I'll take them out and buy them a hamburger. I'll look at one of them and say, when are you going to make that girl righteous? Because I know them. They know me. One of them said, I just like sex. I said, well, I do too. And the compounds are cutting it.
Come on.
Okay, that one comes like a little bit. This
one. They want you to legitimize it.
I was watching an interview. Y'all know how much TV, of course, here I am. I feel like I help our damnation preacher, but then we don't really have TV. We have Netflix, and sometimes with some of that, we have to turn it off, all the F-bombs and all this other kind of stuff, and how they play up homosexual lifestyles, everything wonderful and so forth and so on. And I was watching a documentary about I can call her name, and she's very well known, a multi-millionaire movie star, and she's really beautiful and huge and all these other type of things, and very attractive. And they were talking about her boyfriend, somehow they got on sex, and she was talking about, I had sex, and I just stripped down and get naked in front of him. And the guy said, well, why? And she said, well, he's watching it on the internet, I might as well do it and make sure that his focus is on me. He said, the internet. You see how bad this has gotten.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, listen, what are you going to do, guys?
Come on.
God's called you to make disciples.
Yeah.
It ain't just me. I love doing it. But he's called you to make disciples. How are you going to respond to these type of environments showing love, grace, and mercy without denying the Word of God. You know, you don't have to, you know, beat them in the head with the Bible. You can smile and say, I love you, I appreciate you. And let's look and see what the Scripture has to say about some of these things. You'd be surprised how powerful the Word of God is if you just let people read it. Why does it say that? Well, I wonder why. Let's look at it. And you can Google sexual sins and you can get some great articles about what it does to the individual mindset and lifestyle, and what it does to the family, to the relationship. In lieu of being such a hellfire and damnation preacher this morning, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm talking about hindrances to authentic manhood. Okay? Y'all want to come back next week? Okay, ready?
Galatians 5 what?
Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Right? Now the works of the flesh are evidence. Which are? Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lewdness. Idolatry. Sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of anger or wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelry, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
In other words, you don't go to heaven. And that's an ouch. I thought I was doing it right with the Lord. I thought he'd kind of wink at this one. Why should I? This is the only one I have. The rest of them I'm doing good. Our job is to love people to a place of an encounter with God. Let me say it again. Your job is to love people to a place they encounter God. The Word of God sets the standard of faith and gives rule of conduct and reveals the character of God. Number four, real quickly, we talked about tempting Christ. It means demanding that God do what is contrary to His character. Asking God to bless something outside of His will because you like it or you want it. The last one is murmuring. Oh, yes. Murmuring. Complaining. Criticizing. Fault finding. Said, let your seed conversation be seasoned with grace so that you know how to speak to every situation. He says in 1 Corinthians 5:11 and then also in 1 Corinthians 6:9 following, he talks about a reviler. Paul says,
I'm not going to turn there, but you know what he says to the church there? He says, get rid of him. Wonder why.
Right.
My contention today is not to make you feel terrible, but it's to set the groundwork for authentic manhood. And these same five hindrances apply to men. Authentic womanhood. Manhood, being a man of God and a woman of God, is synonymous with being Christ-like. It is that simple. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong and boldness, and we rejoice.
Yes.
Give me some conclusions real quick. It's a little late, but see, you don't have to mess with the crowds in the restaurants. Woo-hoo! Just a little break there.
Thanks for doing your
favor there. These five vices that is rampant in the church are the root causes for men and women for living unfulfilled lives. Mm-hmm. The ironic thing about the children of Israel, with all of their crimes, and you know they were guilty, everyone in 1 Corinthians 10, they were talking about all five of these came from the children of Israel. And the whole time they were participating in all of these vices, guess what was waiting for them? Canaan.
Yep.
The promised land. And all they could see was what they left and what was burning in their own flesh. Mm-hmm. This place, Canaan, is that place of rest, blessing, success, ability to do what God's called you to do in place of God. God is touching men today. Let me say it again. God's touching guys today. God is touching ladies today. Where the only thing that they value is their relationship with God and what He has called them to do. And it is that lifestyle that brings His presence. If I could be so uncouth, I guess, and that's a strong word, but maybe one of the reasons why He's not visiting churches like we cry out is because if He did, we'd all be dead.
Yep.
Because His presence burns every impurity because He's that holy. Let me close with 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2 as Mike hurriedly tries to find that verse. 1 Kings 2:2. We're getting kind of high tech, aren't we?
I'm there. Hold on. Hold on.
You know what's there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Come on. And bingo.
This is David's advice to Solomon, his son, right before he died. And he says to Solomon, I go all the way of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. My version puts it this way. I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man.
Yes.
Another version says, I go all the way of the earth. Be strong, therefore, and be a man.
Man up.
Be a man. Man up.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that's our admonishment today from Scripture. Man up. Be Christ-like. Is it a process? Oh, yeah. And I wouldn't give it if it was just like tapping on a wand with a magical Bible and all of a sudden everything wonderful. It's the journey that counts.
Yes.
Dealing with my mindset, my behavior, and my emotions begin to flow into things of the kingdom. And then, if you get rid of the garbage, the rats leave.
Yes.
I'm preaching good here.
Yes, sir.
You get rid of the garbage. Get rid. Are you having problems murmuring? You don't know? Go look at your text for the last 2 weeks and see what you wrote. Boy, I'm meddling now. Glory to God. I mean, really, go look at them. What did you write? You cut somebody out? Well, that's pretty redemptive.
Control your thought processes. You have self-control. Are you lusting after everything under the sun? Or do you have such a deep love for God that you're completely in love with the woman and the man that God's given?
Amen.
And nothing could possibly take the place of that individual in the woman. Is the thing that you value most the lordship of Jesus in your life? Or is it other things? I appreciate the trouble there, that's fine. With all these, I believe God is about to do a work with all some of these international meetings where the leaders will run around trying to buy a $60,000 jet, and they already got three in there sitting there doing nothing. But God said, go buy another. I'd like to suggest you go ahead and say such a thing. Take one of $60 million jet, sell the three you got, and go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem. You give me that $60 million, we'll have orphanages all over the world, training centers everywhere. Okay, I'd like to suggest to you that's an idolatry. The missionaries that get my attention are the ones that are serving out in the bush, giving food. Yeah, I just was so blessed that you guys the other day when I read that post out there. That guy at Walmart, you wait at the guy at Walmart sitting there and said, God bless you, I need food. Well, we went and had some food. Mm-hmm. Not me, it was Earl and Mike. Was Mike with you too?
Yeah.
You guys, y'all went. So, that's the kingdom of God.
Yep.
You give someone a cup of water in my name, it won't come back. Boy, that's why we give to the pantry. He even said, hey, you got free food, I may come to church. I mean, hey! Oh, Jesus. Are you okay? Y'all mad at me this morning?
No.
I don't should be mad at me. Well, maybe just a little. The reason why I preach this way like I did this morning is because I'm convinced that we are not walking in the authority that God wants us to walk in.
Yeah.
And it's because of crazy fleshly appetites that we haven't dealt with yet. Please, if any of these areas, and there's much more that I could talk about, deal with it. Ask God for grace to deal with it. Get free of that thing so you can get into that place of His glory and goodness and mercy. It's His mercy that doesn't wipe us out. We deliberately walk in these fleshly things.
Uh-huh.
And we come into church and we all have their worship. It's His mercy that didn't go, hey, what are you doing here?
Uh-huh.
Church is for holy people.
Yes.
Y'all know that, right? The saints of God. Holy people of God. First, we welcome sinners in, obviously. And the whole purpose of why he doesn't zap those individuals is so that they will get saved and born again. Okay, you're being kind of rough. Listen, remember Ananias and Sapphira. I didn't do it. I didn't write it. But they were taken out on a stretcher. Dead. to a deeper level and understanding of the fear of leaving.
I'm not going to ask you, if you're addicted to pornography, come on down here. I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to embarrass you. I will embarrass you if it'll keep you from going to hell. I mean, yes, but I, if I can pray for God's grace to pour out more of the fear of the Lord, which is a strong confidence in who He is, then I'm confident that He will deal with us as individuals to the place where each of us will say, this will not reign in my life anymore. I'm going to go get help. I'm going to ask for somebody to help me and pray with me regularly and mentor me and read. Let's read the Bible together and discuss it. Pray together, weep together, cry together. Until something changes in me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay, stand up. There's fire extinguishers in the back if I happen to preach you on fire today. So praise the Lord. I had a family in the church in the last year or so. They left because they said I didn't preach in the center. I laughed. Put your hands up. Now again, you guys just begin to do, just begin to talk to God right now. I know it's late. Thank you for putting up with me. Was there something that hit your heart with, oh my goodness, when I was preaching and teaching or reading the Word of God today? If you know me, you know I believe in grace and mercy. You know I believe in forgiveness. You know I don't hit people in the head with the Bible, but you also know I don't compromise the standard of God's grace. Just begin to ask Him, whatever that one thing or a couple of things that spoke to your heart today, where you went, oh my goodness, I need to work on some stuff with God. Give it to Him right now. Ask Him for grace. For the fear of the Lord to be the standard for your life. And that area, or in those areas, whatever it may be. His desire is for us to walk in freedom. And to experience His level, a higher and deeper level of His mercy and grace. Goodness and power. As we read earlier, to be bold and to rejoice more. So Father, right now you hear all the prayers that have been prayed, all the words that have been uttered in hearts and minds. Lord, some of them may have been dealing with these type of vices for years. And they have a desire to get broke, to break through, but for whatever reason hasn't been able to. Today I'm asking for the fear of the Lord to come in power. And the rod of God to go down each of our backs, our spines, to give us a strong confidence. So as we come into your presence, there's such a boldness knowing not only will you hear us, but you'll also respond to us.
Amen.
Pray, God, for grace if it happens to be a particular difficult area to open up to a significant other, someone that will love them and pray with them and walk with them during this time. What you've done for one, you've done for us all. And that wonderful passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken us that is such as common to all humanity. But God will provide a way of escape so that you can walk free and I can walk free. So I pray that for each of us today. And I thank you, sweet Spirit.
to encourage you. Listen to what he says. He will give you some instructions about what to do to walk out of these vices. Listen to what he says and obey what he tells you. One of the greatest downsides to the captivity to various types of sin is Psalm 66:18. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's not that he doesn't hear you pray. It's just that he can't act on your behalf until you line up with his word.
Amen.
And that lining up is the simple request for help. Now, Lord, seal what you've done here today. Seal it by the power of your Spirit. Thank you for each one for the work that you've done here in my life, in every man's life, every woman's life, and consequently in our family's life. Repercussion of that, where we work, how we play, our entertainment, the friends we have, the old ones and the new ones that you'll bring to us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Say amen, church. All right, we'll hug somebody before you leave. Thank you for coming. Happy Father's Day.